suspect there are folks listening in today who may not know much about the church liturgical calendar, since not all congregations use it. But for those of us who do, you know that today is Advent 1, the first day of the new church year. We start each year anticipating the coming of the Christ child a few weeks before Christmas, with John the Baptist telling us to prepare the way of the Lord. This season of anticipation of a new start begins just a few weeks before Christmas, and each year we follow Jesus' life through a different gospel, celebrating his birth, his journey to the temple, his miracles, his teachings, death, resurrection, and ascension, all the way to that last Sunday that we celebrated last week, Jesus' glorious reign over all creation in Christ the King. Then we start all over again, and today, the first Sunday in Advent, is essentially our New Year's Day. So what's the gospel about? Is it a positive outlook? Make a New Year's resolution? Not quite. Luke tells us there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth, distress among the nations. People will faint from fear and foreboding. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down, so that that day will not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Be alert. Pray for strength. Be alert, Jesus says. There will be distress among the nations. Be on guard, Jesus says. People will faint from fear. Is Jesus also saying, be alert? There will be racial unrest, and the people in charge of our safety will murder innocent people in the streets just based on the color of their skin. Be on guard. There will be systems that prevent an equitable distribution of all the earth's resources to all of God's children. Pay attention. There will be a court system that's created without true justice for all. Be on guard. This is our New Year's Day. Why isn't Jesus telling us? Make your New Year's resolutions. You can do anything you set your mind to. But instead, Jesus says, pay attention. It's rough out there. Be alert. Pay attention right now. If Christ is King, why hasn't everything been fixed? This seems like a pretty wretched year. Racial unrest, an unstable economy, a global pandemic that just won't go away. And to be clear, the signs in Jesus' day were dire as well. For the Hebrew people, an economy of abundance for the rulers and near poverty for everyone else, especially the Jewish folks,
who, with no allegiance to the Roman Empire,
except for an elite class of religious authorities who had been appointed by the empire, the Sadducees and some of the Pharisees,
who did their bidding and used religious influence to keep everyone in line, and with religious authorities
that even used the temple to extract what little wealth everyday folks had to give to the elite. This first Sunday in Advent, we are faced with the same choice that the people in Jesus'
time had. And that call that Jesus gives, pay attention, be alert. Jesus was calling them to not
become complacent about the staggering wall of crises and problems that cannot be overcome, in this life at least. And I believe that's what Jesus
is saying to us as well. This passage is almost
always read as an apocalyptic message, Jesus pointing to the end times, and I do think it is that.
And I've also come to believe,
as I study how we as people of faith make choices in our lives, that what it is that we believe about the end times, I believe and can
see how that impacts
how we behave as Christians, the decisions we
make in the here and now. What we believe
about how things will end
changes our behavior here on earth in this life.
I believe that is precisely why Jesus is saying, be alert.
This is important now. Let me tell you a couple of stories, one from a couple of centuries past and one currently playing out in my home state of Mississippi. The first is a story that happened in the American South in the 1600s, 1700s, when the plantation owners, mostly Episcopalians, struck a deal with the Baptist and Methodist evangelists. The evangelists wanted to preach about Jesus to the enslaved. According to the Encyclopedia of Religion in the South, the plantation owners demanded a devil's bargain. That bargain insisted that the evangelist could preach, but it had to be an individualized gospel. Salvation would only be personal and spiritual, not about changing social conditions. Eschatology always had to be out there somewhere. Salvation would come in the end times. The preaching of the prophets for whole cities and nations, calling them to repent, was not allowed, and definitely not the call in Exodus to let my people go. It all was about someday across the river, salvation would come in the afterlife. It took a deep reorienting of what Jesus was all about. Much of that work done by the teaching of Robert Moses in the 1960s in Mississippi to get that sweet by-and-by gospel replaced by a true gospel of liberation. Moses actually created a Sunday school curriculum that reoriented the coming of Jesus away from swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home, to an understanding that Jesus wants us to participate in the bringing of the kingdom of God now, here in this place. Let's get out and vote. Now, it matters what we do here. This work was pivotal in creating the sea change that began the hard work of emancipation from a slave economy in this life, in the 1960s, and it continues unto today. The other Mississippi story that has happened in the last few months is when their governor refused to encourage Mississippians to get vaccinated, because he said Mississippians are not as afraid of COVID as other folks. At the press conference, the governor said, "I believe very strongly in what the Bible says. It is very clear that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Saying that is what drives a large number of Mississippians. At that precise time, Mississippi was in first place in the per capita rates of the new coronavirus cases and deaths. Yes. Sadly, while governmental officials are awaiting a future rapture, citizens of all religious affiliations or of none at all are suffering real trauma today. What kind of message are we sending as Christians when we argue that our belief in our safety in the next life exempts us from actions in this one? What kind of God are we saying we believe in? So this first Sunday in Advent, this beginning of our new church year, becomes a time to stop and deeply think about what it is we believe our lives are about here in this life, and how that connects us to the broader story of God playing out on this planet. Times are dire. We do need to pay attention. We do need to be alert to the coming of the Christ child in this season that approaches, in this time, and to the coming of the kingdom of God all around us in this life and the next. What I believe this season of Christ the King, mixed right in with the coming of the baby Jesus, points us to a profound reality. For me, the reality that God came in human form signifies that we matter here and now. I believe that Jesus taught us that there is a God who loves us, who does reign supreme, and who has created a benevolent universe that we as humans get to participate in. And just like in Jesus' time, we were each born into a world in deep need and have the support of a loving God for us to do the work we are called to do, to try to make this place a better place for all of us. We will see that things are not as they need to be. Be alert. We will experience trying times. Be on guard. We will be asked to proclaim God's love for all and and to demand the systems that we humans put in place reflect God's love now. Pay attention. We are called upon to assist in the arrival of the true kingdom of God in this world and in the next. And if we fail, when we fail, to not fret, we can help, but it isn't all up to us. God is in control. Just a few Sundays ago in this same cycle of the church year, we were called upon to renew our baptismal vows. The vows ask a lot, that we seek and serve Christ in all persons, and that when we sin, and to repent and return, and to respect the dignity of every human being. All very difficult, if not impossible. But we are not asked to respond when we're asked if we will do this. Oh, no problem, I've got this. The response the prayer book prompts is,
I will, with God's help.
Times are hard.
Racial and economic
unrest abounds. We're in a pandemic.
People are divided. People are actually being
shot in the streets, and
vigilantes are not being held responsible. And while all of that is true,
it is also true that we are held in the arms of a loving God.
God is in control, and we are, in fact,
marching upward to Zion. Zion,
the beautiful city of God. And along the way,
pay attention. Be alert. Be on guard.
We are called to be active citizens in that kingdom of God, helping to bring the reign of God
to this place,
to this land, in these times.
I pray that our response will always be,
I will, with God's help.
Amen.